The tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the regular kind of Shaukra Parampara. Shaukra Parampara means the lineage which comes down in a seminal way, the seminal parampara or succession. Sri Rupa Goswami was very specific in establishing Mahaprabhu's lineage on the basis of the knowledge and conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, how that would be communicated from one spiritual master to the other. So, in that sense, our lineage, the spiritual lineage, we trace through the communication or the transference of knowledge from one spiritual master to his disciples with the specific purport, the deeper meanings that is contained within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada once commented, when asked, what is the need to write another commentary, because there are so many commentaries existing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are at least 14 such commentaries which our parampara or spiritual line deems as authorized. So Prabhupada said, actually, all the previous acharyas are so merciful that they always leave something for the next spiritual preceptor. And that is one reason. The second reason is that everything has to be understood in context of time, place and circumstance. So when Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Srila Rupa Goswami formulated and elucidated on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner desire, verse that describes Sri Rupa Goswami is Sri Chaitanya Manu Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. The one who actually understood the inner desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and established this spiritual precept as the foundation for all future generations to come. Based on this spiritual concept and precept, further elucidations and elaborations can be made and were made. So there is no speculation involved. So that is the second reason that with each new generation, with each new place. For example, Mahaprabhu broke the confines of spiritual, the geographical confines of spiritual culture, which was concentrated in Bengal. And for 6 years, he traveled the entire length and breadth of Bharat Bhumi, or India, propagating and inaugurating the Yuga Dharma. That was his mission. His mission was to inaugurate the Dharma, the religion of Kali Yuga and took it to all the corners of Bharat Bhumi or India. But that was just the beginning, because after all, if it is meant to be the religious principle to be followed by humanity in general in Kali Yuga, then it cannot be contained within the confines of just one land. And therefore, we find predictions, prophecies in the Srimad Bhagavatam and all our spiritual texts and literature, and specifically in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Lord Chaitanya himself predicts that that the sarvatra prachar hoibe mor naam. Sarvatra means everywhere. And mind you, sarvatra doesn't mean only this one little planet known as the Earth planet. Wherever Kali Yuga is in force, one has to understand a little bit about the Vedic cosmology. Our scientific research is extremely limited and does not recognize any other globe other than this small little Earth. But in our scriptures we read that there are millions of planets on the same category as the Earth. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says that there are so many planets, as many as there are mustard seeds in a sack. If you take a sack, full sack, with mustard seeds, it's uncountable. So that many planets there are. Lord Brahma, after stealing the cow's calves and the cowherd boys, just to find out whether the descriptions that he had, actually, he's the one who spoke the Vedas. And in the Vedas he says that there is a small little boy called Gopal, the blackish complexion, and he's actually the son of Nanda Maharaj, playing in the courtyard of Chanda Maharaj, and he's the Supreme Lord. So he was thinking, did I make a mistake? So one day he decided to find out whether that's true or not. So he stole all the cows, calves, and with all the cows, calves, and the cowherd boys, Krishna's friends, went far away, and he wanted to hide them from Krishna's sight. So he found a nice big cloud, and there, that's the cloud, which is also the source of Mahatattva. So it has to be a huge cloud, mind you. And then he came back, and already a year had transpired. A year. Brahma's few minutes was a year on the solar on a solar calculation of time. And he found that everything was as it is, as it was, so to speak. He understood. So then he went to Dwaraka to beg forgiveness. So he came to Dwaraka and was immediately stopped by the gateman, the guards. Say, hey, where are you going? So he was surprised. Brahma was surprised. Brahma thought that, isn't it apparent that I am Brahma, I have four heads. how many persons has this God seen with four heads? So then I said, no, wait, I have to announce, who are you? Well, I am Lord Brahma, the creator of this universe. Ah. So when the guard opens the door to go into the palace to announce his presence, he sees just then an eight-headed Brahma offering his obeisances to the Lord of Dwaraka. And could slightly peep in because the door was ajar. And there was a split and you could see 16-headed Brahma, 32, all in the multiples of four Brahmas. They were all standing there waiting to pay their obeisances. Now, Brahma is the creator. He's a secondary creator, actually. He himself didn't know that there were so many universes. So, when it's a very interesting point, because here Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur goes on to say that when we speak of Krishna's pastimes, we refer to it as Nitya Leela. Right? Nitya Leela means eternal. But the other meaning of Nitya means at every moment. Nitya is eternal, which means that it is a continuum. Endless, uninterrupted continuum of pastime. That is also eternal. But eternal also means, or Nitya also means, the replication of one pastime at every given moment without a pause. That means when the birth pastime of Krishna in Mathura 5,000 years ago was taking place, a second later, that same pastime was replicated in another earth planet. And so it went on. So that also is Nitya. So in order to understand this and make it also feasible, possible, that many earth planets must also be there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, it was not just on this earth. And therefore, when Vrindavan Das Thakur describes it as Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Mor Naam, Sarvatra means not confined to this one globe, but everywhere. Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Mor. So, this, what we have seen, and as it has been documented in the two seminal works, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, are descriptions on this earth planet. But these were replicated in other earth planets too. It's the same thing, with a little bit of changes, additions, subtractions, depending on time, place, and circumstances, where it was being propagated. So, this fact, this factor, these three factors of time, place, and circumstance are very important to understand, that without this essence of the scriptures, the essence being interpreted according to time, place, or circumstances. The scriptures cease to be dynamic, becomes a dead novel, a mundane book. Any novel you pick up, the newspaper, after you've read it, is ready for the trash bin. And so also, any other mundane literature. We might be attached to a particular book because we paid a huge amount. That's why it doesn't follow the same route as the newspaper. And we keep it nicely in our library. Huh? But actually, it's dead. In order for any knowledge to be dynamic, it has to describe the transcendental realm and the activities that take place on that realm, on that dimension. Because it's nabo nabayoman. It's always fresh. It's always new. It's always beautiful. It's always evoking new spiritual emotions as soon as you hear it. That's what makes it ever fresh. Ever fresh is not the information which comes across alone, but ever fresh means also the emotions it evokes in us, which is new, so that we can relish it. If it's the same information over and over and again, then human beings, jiva, being given limited capacity. After all, we are not the Supreme Lord. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, everything, all our capacities, everything is limited. And therefore, we hear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking of Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purna Amrita Asvadanam. This relish of transcendental rasa is ever expanding because it evokes new spiritual emotions within us, such new emotions that we've never relished or tasted it before. Therefore, it is able to allow us to relish this ever fresh, ever new rasa. So, these are the two aspects that Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on, what the meaning of nitya. Nitya is endless. That means just when you, endless means uninterrupted, means when you take honey or ghee and you pour, it's a continuous flow without a single interruption. You know, this flows. That's one. And secondly, is if it is humanly possible that you have so many pots, and from each pot, every 1/11th of a second. This has been also, these time calculations are not imaginary. 1/11th of a second is lava. It's known as lava. So 1/11th of a second is the next place where Krishna's or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's or the other incarnation's pastimes are taking place. So it's practically faster than even the blinking of an eye. The blinking of an eye takes longer than lava. So when Mahaprabhu then, when we talk about Mahaprabhu's lineage, spiritual lineage or tree, we have to take this into consideration, that it is not a seminal lineage, and therefore we have actually, there's no one who is in Mahaprabhu's seminal lineage. Mahaprabhu left home at a very early age. And he was married and twice. And each time, the child that he actually conceived was the two types of bhakti. By in his first marriage, was Vaidhi bhakti created, and therefore his first wife passed away very soon. She died or left her body due to a snake bite. Actually, they say it's snake bite, but during that period of time, Mahaprabhu was visiting the eastern part of Bengal, what is now known as Bangladesh. Mahaprabhu had gone there to propagate his mission. And at that time, Lakshmi Priya, out of intense separation, intolerable separation, wished to give up her body. And a snake bite was just coincidental. So, this is also for us to understand that Vaidhi Bhakti is only to establish a platform where we can actually begin to practice bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami very clearly states that Vaidhi Bhakti is not bhakti. It is a preparation, the preparatory stage for practicing bhakti. Therefore, bhakti should be also given up at a certain period of our development, spiritual development. It has to be abandoned. But because bhakti, Vaidhi bhakti, like many of our bad habits that we bring from previous life, which are considered to be anartha. One of the anarthas, there are four anarthas. Four anarthas? Unwanted material desire? Four? Sorry?
For the new persons.
Yeah.
What kind of bhakti I'm talking?
Vaidhi bhakti, you mean this term, okay? Vaidhi bhakti means to practice devotional service which are tempered by rules and regulations, to follow, to execute devotional service following specific rules and regulations. Actual bhakti or spontaneous bhakti, which is known as rag bhakti, which Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu states to be the actual bhakti, is spontaneous. It's the spontaneous tendency, the natural inclination of jiva, towards the Supreme Lord, the loving tendency, that is actual bhakti. But when devotional service is based and confined within the limitations of rules and regulation, then the free flow of spiritual emotion, loving emotions, cannot take place. It's stemmed. This flow is stemmed. And therefore, Vaidhi Bhakti, or regulative devotional service, is not considered to be bhakti in its true sense. So, there are certain things, certain habits, certain characteristics, tendencies that we bring from previous birth, which are very difficult to get rid of, which are very difficult to overcome. This is known as Hridaya Dourvalyam, the weakness of the heart. One person may try as much as possible to get rid of a certain bad habit, but really doesn't succeed. Actually, it is impossible to succeed on one's own capacity. It's not possible. It has to come in the form of mercy, the spiritual master's mercy. It will be taken away. Only when it's taken away by force, just like Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Priya, was, her life was taken away by the snake bite. It was incidental, as I said. But it had to be taken away on her own. She couldn't leave her body. She could have, but just so that we understand that the principle of the mercy acting as our real spiritual mentor. The spiritual master is there, and we are worshipping him, listening to him, developing our love and trust for him. But when we actually want to experience his mercy, it will come in the form where all these bad habits will be forcibly taken away. Krishna's, there's one poem that Prabhupada wrote when he was in Vrindavan, after he had left his family. And there he quotes one verse. He says that when Krishna becomes merciful, is merciful towards anyone, then he steals Harishve tad dhanam kshanai, takes away all his attachments. Dhana, the word dhan, actually means wealth. But when you say wealth, there's hardly any person who accumulates wealth for his own well-being. It's always because for the well-being of his extended family. So it is the attachment which motivates a person to accumulate wealth. So when in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, Harishve tat dhanai, kshanai dhanai, immediately, kshanai means within a few moments it happens. Dhanai means attachments. So these attachments are what keeps us in this material world. In fact, attachments are the source of anxiety and fear. That's why it's also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that attachments are actually the cause of mental anxiety and fear. So, Vaidhi Bhakti was not what Mahaprabhu came to propagate. Mahaprabhu came to propagate actually two things. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes it very nicely. That on the one hand, that Bohirange Karen Prabhu Naam Sankirtan Antarange Paren Prabhu Rasashadan. This was his actual mission. There's, to every mission there's always this, the external and the internal. But however, one should not judge these expressions like external and internal to give them any evaluation. After all, they're all transcendental. Therefore, Mahaprabhu's external mission was no less significant than his internal mission. So his external mission was Sankirtan movement to inaugurate the congregational chanting. Bohirange Karen Prabhu Naam Sankirtan Antarange Karen Prabhu Rosh Ashadan. And the internal mission was to taste the supreme sweet mellow of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, as was shown by the gopis. That's the rasa that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to relish. So, Naam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name, is therefore the sutra, so means the string which holds different pearls. So this sutra of the chanting of the holy name holds one, on one hand, the pearl of Vaidhi Bhakti, but also then the pearl of Rag Bhakti or spontaneous devotional service. But external means that one should not remain on the external aspects of chanting the holy name. The external chanting, the aspects of the holy name are these different levels that Srila Rupa Goswami describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Adav Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Adha Bhajanakriya Atha Anarthanip. Sadhu Sangha means association of devotees. Bhajanakriya means to engage in practical devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master. Anartha means there are four different unwanted desires which hold back our progress. One of them, as we described, is the Hridaya Dourvalyam, weakness of the heart. The other is not to know our true identity as spiritual beings. Swarup Brahm, it is known as. The other is Asat Trishna, to run after temporary things. Asat means temporary, which gives the illusion of being real, but is actually not. Just like the traveler on the way through the forest in the night sees a rope across the road and thinks it's a snake. It's, the snake is there. He has experience of the snake. But it is not a snake, it's the rope. So similarly, Asat Trishna is what we think to be real, but in fact, it is just an illusion. similar to the mirage in the desert, the mirage. So Atha Ashat Trishna is running after. Here, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes it very clear. We should not neglect acquiring things that we need to keep the body and soul together. That should not be neglected. But every other thing should be abandoned. And avidya. These are the four anarthas. Avidya. Avidya means to not know the conclusion of the scriptures. And how can one know the conclusion of the scriptures? How can one know the conclusion of the scriptures? Any answers? Yeah? Yes. From the spiritual master, but simply not hearing the spiritual master, there's to understand that the spiritual master is non-different from the Supreme Lord. Only then to hear from him. If we think as the spiritual master to be an ordinary mortal and therefore prone to make mistakes, our mind would always trying to find the lacuna and mistakes in his words. But when we say that, when we understand, when we actually realize that he is non-different from the Supreme Lord, and then hear submissively from him, this, through this process of hearing, we can actually assimilate the essence of the scriptures. So avidya. So these are the four things which hold us back. And all these different bad habits can only be got rid of by the Supreme Lord's mercy in the form of the words and mercy of the spiritual master. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to give us. And the externals, the holy name through which we gradually get rid of all the coverings that keep us incarcerated in this material world, and on the internal to relish the rasa that one experiences, the ever-increasing happiness and bliss in the devotional service to the Supreme Lord and spontaneous love. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.